morning. You know, I was talking about the servants of God that we have. The truth is, if you're saved, we're all servants of God. Amen. You're called to serve Him. Some people came to Jesus with a question that they thought would stump Him. The Bible calls them lawyers. Lawyers were never up to a lot of good. They didn't have a good reputation. They're a Christian lawyer, so if you're a lawyer and you're a Christian, we need you, okay? Praise God for that. But they were trying to stump Jesus, and they said, what's the most important commandment in the law? You know, that's like asking somebody who their favorite child is. Yeah. Hopefully you don't answer that too quickly. But Jesus had an answer. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's a commandment. How do you love God with your strength? Well, you serve Him, right? And love your neighbor as yourself. They didn't ask Him about the second one, but He threw it in, because if we're not serving others, we're not truly right with God. Here in 2 Timothy, we want to take a look at some things about being a servant of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul the Apostle speaks to the young pastor, and he's giving him some instructions. I'm going to ask you to begin reading in verse 14. Timothy's to put the people in remembrance. You know, sometimes a sermon is not something that you've never heard before. It's a reminder of things that you've heard before and maybe have lost touch with or just need some clarification. Or maybe just we're reminded of things we know and we need to get stirred up again. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord. That's a command. That they strive not about words to no profit. Sometimes we get in arguments about stuff that's really just petty, don't we? But to the subverting of the hearers. When Christians get in arguments on social media, you know what harms? Harms the testimony of Christ. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's to believers. That's to each one of us. We ought to know our Bible and work to know it better. But shun profane and vain babblings. That's just running our mouth about things that are of not importance, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as does a canker. When we say things and we're not in control of our speech, vanity or profanity, you know what it does? It burrows into people's hearts and it eats, a root of bitterness. It causes division. Harmful words as a canker, almost like cancer. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus? Can you imagine being put in God's eternal word as somebody who's a cancer in a New Testament church? If these guys are in heaven, I imagine they don't appreciate it, but it's there. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrowing the faith of some. And so these men were spreading false doctrine. So he says they're spreading false doctrine. They're overthrowing the faith. They said the resurrection is already. By the way, if the resurrection and the rapture already happened and you're still here, what does that mean? It means you're not saved. It's not a good thing. It's that false doctrine. False doctrine is making its rounds in Christianity today, parading as Baptist doctrine. There are churches, they're calling themselves the new IFB or this or that, and they have false doctrine. Israel's not Israel, and post-trib rapture and other foolishness. It says they're overthrowing the faith of some. Well, how does Paul deal with that? Notice what he says in verse 19. He says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. When He comes to take His children in the rapture, He's not going to leave any Christians behind. He knows who are His. But let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Why? Well, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these, what is he talking about? Well, in your house you have a lot of different vessels, okay? You've got a trash can, and you put trash in it. It's necessary, right? When the trash can's not in our house, our son takes the trash out, and sometimes he forgets to put a bag in the trash can, or we have two, one for recycling and one for regular, and he forgets to bring one back in. Now, parents don't do this, but sometimes kids, if the trash can's not there, what do? They just throw the trash on the floor. Trash cans are necessary, but it's a trash can. It's unto dishonor. I have other vessels in my house that I don't throw trash in. I want them to be clean. I drink out of them. Each has its purpose, but one is less honorable. Now, here's what the Word of God is saying, that you and I are servants of God, but we get to determine how the Lord will use us, whether to honor or to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these things that are dishonorable, he shall be a vessel unto honor. So there's the word if. It's your choice. Sanctified and meet, prepared for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Well, how do I do that then? Well, look at verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts. Those lusts that are attached to immaturity, that are affixed to the flesh. Flee them, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and not just by yourself, but with people that are doing the same thing, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions, avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Wow, that's a challenge, isn't it? Some people, they just test you, don't they? The Bible talks about us in Hebrews. It talks about us entertaining angels unaware. I wonder if some of those angels are put here as people with skin on that just irritate us, and they're here to test our faith. No, I don't know. I can't say that. They're watching us. That's right. But we're supposed to be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. See, there's the people. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, there's a lot of people today who want their life to count for something. Idealistic people. In fact, we've got a trend today of something called influencers. Now, in my mind, if you're an influence on somebody, it means you have contact with them. It means you actively influence their life. But if you hear the term influencer, today that means somebody on Instagram or social media who has amassed a followers. And so they take pictures and they make TikToks and they do things that appear to be helpful and all these people follow them. They are influencers. There's another word that's come out today, and it's activists who don't really get involved in actually doing anything. It's called slacktivism. They don't actually want to do the work. They just want to influence other people. Well, let me tell you something. Those influencers are slacktivists. Don't be like that. We are to pursue something today. And if all the things that we are to pursue, if you want your life really to count for eternity, to make an impact in people's lives, sometimes people say, I just wish that people would love me. I wish that I could have an influence. Well, the Bible says, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. And if we are to have people that input into our lives, we must do it first. And the way that we do that is by pursuing what God gives us here. According to Scripture, how much God uses us, how much and in what way He uses us, how much we influence other people is really up to nobody but that person in the mirror. I want to preach to you a message this morning about godly pursuit. What really is worth pursuing today? Of many things, we're going to focus on this. Dear Lord, help us today as we study these scriptures, that some of these truths might be exactly what each one of us need. Speak through me, in your name I pray. Amen. Take a look, if you will, at verse 19. I want you to notice something, and this is important to draw out, to really emphasize. God wants to work through His children. He cares about you. He saved you. He gifted you for a purpose. The Bible told Jeremiah the prophet, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." God has a calling on your life, and He had it before you were even born, before you were saved. Think about that. So that when you got saved, His plan was already to use you in a certain capacity. From the foundation of the world, God knew that. He's eternal. Now, that should come as a comfort to you, that God, He formed you, He knew you, He knew you would get saved, and when you got saved, He said, I've got plans for you. The question is whether or not we will live up to them. See, according to Scripture, God knows who His servants are. Look at verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And I love the way the Scripture puts that. See, you don't get saved by your own strength. And you don't keep your salvation by your own strength. You didn't get saved because you were faithful to God, and you're not going to stay saved because you hang on to it. Instead, the Bible says this, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" If I'm not my own, who do I belong to? God. Well, how do I belong to Him? Well, the Bible says you're bought with a price. Understand this. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if there's ever been a time when you heard the gospel is the message of God that's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that hears it. All you got to do is respond in faith to the gospel message. I believe that Jesus is God. I believe He died on the cross for my sins. I believe He rose from the dead, and I want to be saved. And anyone who does that is receiving the gift of eternal life. And the second you did that, you possess salvation, but God possesses you. Amen. See, I'm going to say it again. If you possess salvation, God possesses you. You are bought with a price. That's a wonderful truth. He paid the ultimate cost for you, the death of His Son. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, it says, you are kept by the power of God. Your salvation, your eternity is. So God knows who His children are. We belong to Him. And He will never forget you. Having given the gift of life through His Son and adopted you into His family, He knows you. Now, again, there are some today who use the title Christian. They say, well, I'm a Christian. And they've never accepted Christ. They don't believe what the Bible says. They've not heard the gospel. They use that title because it makes them feel good, or they think some things, or they go to a church and maybe they do some whatever, but they've not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and accepted Jesus as Savior. If you've not done that, you're not a Christian. You can be. But the only way to God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by... It's not through an organization. It's not through a sacrament. It's not through a church. It's not through some other mediator. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. It's only through Him. But once that is received, that gift of salvation, the Bible calls it eternal life, and you belong to God. God knows who His children are. But it's important to understand that He wants His servants to be pure. Look at verse 19. And, He's not going to leave it without telling this, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. See, some will say, well, you Baptists encourage people to live in sin because you teach eternal security, which is really a false premise. We don't teach eternal security. The Bible does. Right. And eternal security doesn't mean that your life belongs to you to live however you want. It simply means your eternity is secure. See, Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? It is the strongest negative in the original language that he could have put. No, we are called now to be His servants, whereas once we serve the flesh, in fact, in Romans chapter 6, he says, when you serve the flesh, you were reaping the rewards, which was death and consequences and pain and suffering, and you looked forward to that eternal death separated from God, but now you've been redeemed. You're to serve God with the life you once served sin with. That's why Romans chapter 6, verse 23, which, by the way, is to believers, it says, for the wages of sin is, finish it with me, death. But the gift of God is we once served sin and death was the penalty. Now we serve God, not to earn eternal life, but because of everything He's done for us. And so really, is it anything out of the ordinary for God to ask us to live pure, to depart from iniquity? No, no. As God's servants, our lives are to glorify Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 puts it this way. It says, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He wants His servants to be pure. Wow. You know, a convicting thought I've once heard put this way. Think about this. God purchased you at a great price, at a great price. Is he getting what he paid for? I hope so. Is that something worth pursuing this morning? Yes. Absolutely. And see, God has many servants. Look at verse 20. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Our Lord has a great house, the earth and all that's in it. He has many servants. And I know I hear sometimes servants of God that you've served the Lord, I'll say it this way, in different capacities throughout your life. In every stage of life, we have opportunities, we have responsibilities, we have abilities. And as our bodies age, as we go into different stages of life, our abilities change. Our body's not able to do all that it was. Does that mean that you're no longer a servant of God? Not at all, friend. It simply means that your method or how God desires to use you changes. There are great servants of God, seniors, who they're not doing the same things that they were, but they're not doing less. They're praying, they're encouraging, they're living a Christian life, they're being faithful as they can, and God recognizes that. He appreciates it. Don't ever be depressed that your physical body doesn't allow you to do what you once could do. God understands that. He understands that, and people do as well. And the Lord rewards us for what we're able to do. So we're not talking about ability, we're talking about purity. Let's continue here. See, the choice is not, it's up to God to use us, yes, but it's up to us how we will be used. Look at verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these. See, if you have the Holy Spirit within you and you have the Word of God, you can depart from iniquity. There's a lot of things that you can't do this morning. You have limitations, financial, physical, mental or whatever. I have limitations. I feel limited right now after this last week. My body's going, man, you're tired. This brain is not working as well as it should. But can I choose to do right? Can I choose to depart from iniquity? Absolutely. A child can do that. An adult can do that. And look what it says. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet. That means prepared for the, what's that next word? For the master's use. We don't determine how God is going to do us. It's like, use us. God determines that. We just prepare ourselves and say, God, here am I, send me. You know, I think of the servant of Abraham, Isaac, who was going to find a son. And he went into a far country and he says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. I just stepped out. It was the servant of Abraham. I just stepped out and God used me. You know, I've seen some opportunities personally in my life these last few months. Sometimes when this guy just reached the end of his abilities, or I didn't know all the details. Brother Mott was talking about us wanting to know all the details. I want to know all the details because I want to have a plan A, B, C, subletter C, and on down the line and contingency plans and all these things. I want to know all the details. And God says, well, that's not for you to know. Just be ready. I'll use you. It's been confirming. It's been neat to see God do things that I could not have. I didn't know that was going to happen, but the Lord did that. He guided conversations and answers to prayer and opportunities for ministry. Not glory to me, glory to Him. Amen. You see, that is His plan for you. We so often quote Ephesians chapter 2. It says, for by grace are ye saved. That was God's kindness. Through faith, all you did was respond in faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. You didn't get saved by works. You would be able to boast. He did the work. But it says we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It was God's plan. So you're His servant if you know Him. The question is, are you ready to be used by Him? One of my children, we try to get them involved in chores around the house. And I've given this illustration before, I know. Hope it doesn't get old, but it's so vivid. And so my oldest son, he's in charge of doing the dishes. And of course, he doesn't do the dishes. We have a dishwasher. He just feeds it, right? You don't do dishes anymore. If you have a dishwasher, you just feed the dishwasher, let's be honest. That's right, okay. And so he loads the dishwasher, and then he unloads the dishwasher. Have you ever had a cup in the dishwasher that still had scum in it? How many of you looked in it, saw it, and put it in the cabinet anyway? Yeah, some of you men out there, or children do that. And so you know what happens is I'll get a coffee cup out and get ready to use it, and it's got dishwasher scum in it. Do you think I just go ahead and make coffee in that cup? Not if I notice it. Yeah, Cindy says yes. Yeah, right. No, I like my coffee pure. No, that cup is not ready to be used. It's still a vessel. You know, I throw it back in the sink, and then I grab another one. You say, why don't you wash it? Well, it's not my job. No. It's not ready to be used. And you know, we as Christians, God picks us up, and he wants to use us to give forth his word. What is it that we're to be used? We're to represent Jesus Christ. The words of Christ are to come out of our mouth. I think of the words of James chapter 3. It says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, it ought not to be so. And when ungodliness comes out of a Christian's mouth, that's a vessel that's not ready to be used. When there's impurity in the Christian's heart, that's a vessel not ready to be used by God. When there's pride or bitterness or unwillingness or unlovingness, or unforgiveness, the Bible says those need to be put away with all malice. That's desire to do harm to another. Notice what it tells us to flee here in verse 22. It says, flee also youthful lusts. Here's some things that will make us unfit to be used. Lusts are desires or passions, those demonstrated in the youth, okay? They're strong, that's exactly right. Some of the things that youth get tangled up in, and by the way, it's not just youth who are susceptible to them, they're just demonstrated in the youth. As you get older, a lot of times people hide them better. It doesn't mean you don't have lusts in your flesh. I think of materialism, a strong desire for things. Children, one of the first words they learn is mommy, daddy, and mine. Right? I was talking yesterday to the young men about what it takes to be a man, and I talked about kids. I talked about self-centeredness and selfishness and about narcissism. You want to see narcissists, look in the nursery. A bunch of these little kids running around. Mine, mine. All the fights that get broke up in the nursery, it's hilarious. Children, you know. Right. Strong desire for things, materialism, pleasure. I want what feels good, what tastes good, what looks good, what makes me feel good. And you know what? When those run rampant, when they cross over the line of God's word, God gives us parameters where we should live within. He says, yes, you've got these desires, and some of them are meant to be fulfilled within the commandments and the confines of God's word. But you know what sometimes we do? We let those desires lead us instead of God's word, and we transgress. The word transgress means to step over the line. It's harmful to us. They're strong and they're prominent. The lusts of our flesh. And you know what? The world around us knows that. They don't agree with us in the area of morality, but the world certainly gets the lust of the flesh. That's what commercialism drives towards. That's what they're trying to sell you. And our world markets towards the lusts of the flesh. With the ads toward alcohol and the ads, you know, the commercialization of pornography these days, and you know, just the blooming problem of gambling and of debt. I think it's hilarious. They have an ad for the Florida lottery, and then right after it, they say, if you have a problem gambling, call this number. They know they're causing the problem. It feeds the problem. You know what that problem is? It's the lust of the flesh, wanting something for nothing of haste and easy gains. And you know what it is. The Bible says, flee it, to get away, to escape with speed. And friend, you've got to be honest with yourself about what your temptations are. One of the scriptures that we think of often, we think of temptation, is 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. And sometimes we think about that and we say, well, I fell to the temptation. God didn't spare me. Well, you lost the rest of the verse. It says he'll provide a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. God never tells you to stick around and duke it out with temptation. He says escape. Get away from it. Romans 13:14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. When you understand the temptation, you escape, you flee the youthful lusts, and you don't feed them. You know, I've got two dogs, and if I'm not careful and I don't separate them, one big dog will eat all the little dog's food. You've seen that happen before, right? What would happen if I just let that happen? That little dog would get weaker and weaker and probably die. I got to separate them. You know, the same thing is true with your lusts and your spirit. If you feed that lust, you think it's going to get weaker? You think you're going to control it easier? No, you need to flee it. What should we follow then, Pastor? Well, if you're pursuing being used by God, if you want God to use you to count for eternity, follow godly character. It says, but follow after righteousness, justice, equity in life. The servant of God is called to be a just man. Treat all men with justice and equality. God's servant is to have the character, really, that God has in this area. Righteousness, doing right deeds. Follow after righteousness, it says, continuing there. It says, and faith. That's confidence in God. This world, you know what it's going to do? It's going to poke holes in your faith. Try to. A lot of things in your life will give you doubts. How do you build up your faith, Christian? I know a scripture verse. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the only verse I know of that tells me how to build up my faith. The scripture says, build yourself up in the most holy faith. And I think every time we take in God's word, we go over, we meditate on what God has done for us. We surround ourselves with God's people. We pray and we observe and remember answers to prayer. It builds up our faith. Listen, the world we're in is corrosive towards our faith. We've got to actively build it up. Follow after righteousness, faith, and charity. You know that word charity there means a self-sacrificing love for others. Timothy was to make it a practice of loving others as God does. Love others expecting nothing in return. Wow, that's hard, Pastor. I know, it's not humanly possible. It's not natural for... Well, that just doesn't come naturally to me. Listen, it doesn't come naturally to any of us. It's what God does in us. We had a Sunday school lesson on the fruit of the Spirit, and one of the fruits of the Spirit is love. This word right here, same word. The only way you're going to love others is when God does it through you, prepared for the Master's use, when he does it. Follow after it, pursue it. Peace, the word is there. My goodness, if we need peace, we definitely need it today. Following after that, pursuing it. How do you follow after these things? Well, you take a step closer in that direction. You constantly seek to build them up, to add them to your life. You take time in the Word of God that builds them. You spend time in the right environment. You obey the Spirit. You feed yourself, just like with those dogs. You feed it, it's going to grow stronger. You flee some things, youthful lusts. Don't feed them or they'll be strong. You follow after these godly character traits. That's how you purify yourself. But then also, you got to pick the right fellowship. Because friend, you can add things to your life. You can take things out of your life, but if you're spending time with the wrong kinds of people continually, now I'm not talking about ministry. You've got to minister to the unsaved. You've got to minister to the world around you. And sometimes even your family is that way. And your family, you might have unsaved family members who are a negative influence in your life. You still need to minister to them. But you need to fellowship with people who are heading the right direction. Amen. See, it says here, notice what it says. It says, follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace. What's that next word? With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I've talked to Christians before who say, well, Pastor, I know I'm not faithful to church, or I used to go to church. you don't have to go to church to go to heaven, they'll tell me. And I'll say, you're right, you don't.
It's not enough.
You're right. Let me, yeah, you're good. Yes, that's, you're very right, Ashley. You don't have to go to heaven. Excuse me, to go to church to go to heaven. But you know what? If you're going to live the Christian life God calls you to, you need influence. And everything around us is influence. And according to the Bible, God gave the church to us as a family, as a body of believers who we influence one another along the right way. That's right. What do you tell your kids when they're hanging around with the wrong group of friends? You warn them. You should warn them, right? Why do you warn them about the wrong group of friends? Because of the influence. Do we as adults think we're any different? We shouldn't. You say, well, Pastor, I have these people in my life that I can't divorce myself from. They're coworkers or maybe they're family. I understand that. You need to minister to them, but you need to find some good Christian relationships that will help influence you, people headed in the same direction who you're going to have input and influence from them. So you can add some things to your life. And if we're going to continue on the right way, if we're going to have that encouragement, if we're going to flee youthful lusts and pursue these things, we need to have the right traveling companions. It says, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, you will share the fate and the character of your chosen companions. Did you know that? You may not be like them exactly, but you're going to end up in the same place sometimes. See, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 28, it says, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. It also says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. Sometimes people will hang out with fools, people that enjoy breaking the rules or, you know, living a life that's not godly, and they say, well, I'm not going to become like them. You know what my answer to them is? Maybe not, but when their life explodes, you'll get hit by the shrapnel. I try to say that lovingly, not you know, with as much passion in a conversation. Because the reality is we need to be adding to our life influence. I want to challenge you, friend. We can add some things. This morning, you can't choose your abilities. You can't choose a lot of things about your life. But if you're saved, you chose Christ, and He chose you. And He knows you. You're His servant. He wants to use you. He designed you for a niche in His body somewhere. But if you're naming the name of Christ, you need to depart from iniquity. Right. Pastor, it's hard. I have these temptations and I keep falling. Okay, well then flee the location of the temptation. Right. We can do that. Take ownership of it. We're not victims. We've been given the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take ownership of that. And follow after some things. Pursue it this next week. Righteousness, faith, charity. And then take note of your traveling companions. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Are your traveling companions the people who you fellowship with, those who you bear your soul with, or you rely on, the people you call? Are they people you can pray with? Is it somebody that if you were to say, I have a prayer request, would you pray with me, please? Would they do that? Okay. Seek to find somebody who will. Pray that God would help you. I believe God will. You see this room right in here. There's some people in here that will. We need to rely on others. As these days grow dark, you're the light of the world. All right. Let's encourage one another. As I close this morning, I want to say something. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you've used the title Christian because you believe in God and you believe the Bible is a good book and you believe that people should do better in their life. Well, friend, that's great. And those things are true. But it's really not enough to get to heaven. See, salvation is a gift that must be received by faith. And it's given to those who go through Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross. And if you believe in God and you say, I pray to God, well, listen, if you want to have a direct relationship with Him, all you got to do is believe the gospel that He died for you and rose again and ask Him to save you. You need to be born again. And if there's never been a point in time when you have received salvation, I'm not talking about receiving communion, I'm not talking about baptism, those are things that happen later. Baptism is what we do after we're saved. If you've never been saved, today you can do that. If you're following us through live stream and you've never made that decision, bow your head and ask Jesus Christ to save you. Tell him you believe in him. Confess him as Christ and say, please save me. And he will. If you do that, let us know. If you're here this morning and you've never done that and you need to, I'd love to help you with that. I'll bow my knees with you and we can go through it this morning. If there's something else in your life, as you say, Pastor, you know what? God has spoken to my heart. I want to be used of God. Well, then friend, this week, pray about how that there might be some things you need to flee from, to get rid of out of your life, impurities. Maybe there's some things you need to follow to be that vessel that's ready to be used by God. And then say, God, use me however you want to. And he will. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. Lord, it's such a comforting thing to know. Of all the things that we cannot count on in the world, we let people down. Other people let us down. You will never leave us nor forsake us. God, I pray that you'd work in our midst today. In your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed? If God has spoken to your heart today, friend, talk to the Lord. If you need to bow a knee at the altar, here at the stairs, it's open. If you need to talk to the Lord there at your seat, do business with God.